Welcome into this very special draft preview edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. My name is Jay Zawoski. With me, as always, my partner James Neveau. And tonight we are talking to the lead prospect writer at McKean's Hockey. It's Ryan Wagman. I'm sure hockey Twitter fans are familiar with Ryan's work. You can follow him at R.A. Wagman. And Ryan, I know you're busy this time of year, so let's get right to it. From all reports, this draft seems like the sort of draft that can go really in any direction. Aside from Rasmus Dahlin, what do we decide officially? Dahlin?
I think it's Dahlin, yeah.
All right, let's go with that. Aside from him being the consensus number one pick, everyone knows he's going first. The rest of the draft seems pretty much up in the air.
I would almost agree with you. I mean, I think at this stage, we're fairly safe in saying that Andrei Svechnikov is going to go second. But yeah, it gets pretty funny pretty quick. You know, for a long time, I would have said that Filip Zadina should be number in that top 2-3. And in fact, I still think he should be, but there's many, many rumors coming out there that that's not going to happen. And, you know, there are a few scenarios where I'd say, okay, I kind of get it. A lot of the ones I'm hearing, I'm really not impressed with. But it can go in a lot of different directions before Chicago gets on the board at number 8, that's for sure.
Well, tell us what makes Dahlin such a special prospect. What makes him the consensus number one overall pick? For our listeners that don't keep up with the prospects of the game or the World Junior Championships, what is it about Dahlin that has everyone so excited?
You know, he's got everything. I mean, you start with the skating and the puck skills. He is, I think, in both of those categories, he's the best you're going to get in this draft. The best skater and the best puck skills. And by skater, I don't just refer to his speed, but he's very fast too, but his edge work, his ability to do these quick turns. You know, they say like in basketball, you know, you can do like a killer crossover, an ankle breaker. He's an ankle breaker. You know, he'll kind of shimmy somebody away at one point, and he'll get the other point, and then he'll kind of do a quick turn, and suddenly he'll have three defenders in his dust. And you know, he's got like a 5-on-2 on the net. He's a really, really special player with the puck. You know, he gets the puck into dangerous situations, and by dangerous, I mean dangerous for the other team all the time. You know, the things, he has great vision to spot these opportunities and find ways to make them happen. It's really something to watch. He reminds me in many ways of Drew Doughty, right? So if we're looking at, you know, what makes him special, I mean, what makes Drew Doughty special? You know, it's both that he moves like a much smaller person. He's about 6'2", 6'3", 195 or so pounds right now. And I'm sure he'll get a bit bigger, but he moves like a smaller guy. He's just one of the better offensive defensemen you're going to find, but he's also good in his own zone. You know, he's good at getting the puck away from the other team, getting it back, moving the puck in the right direction. You know, he kind of fits that possession style game that has taken over the NHL in the last few years. And he's ready. The other thing is he's ready now. He's been playing in high-level, men's-level hockey for, is it 2 years or 3 years already? 3 years. Two years in men's-level hockey. And he's still, you know, he just turned 18 about 2 months ago. And, you know, there's nothing to prevent him from being good on the second pairing tomorrow and a first-pairing number one blue liner by the 2019-20 season and for many, many years after that.
Yeah, that's absolutely the kind of comps that we've been hearing about and all the footage that you see of him play. It's just, it's mind-boggling how really talented he is. And it kind of leads me into this question. We were talking about kind of the way the first round of the draft could kind of start to go, and it seems like there is definitely a possibility that there could be a good run of blue liners that could start probably around that like fourth to fifth pick area. And I was curious, Ryan, for your perspective on this, because in your mock draft you had Evan Bouchard going number 6 overall to the Detroit Red Wings, and he's a guy that I've looked at a little bit of film on as I've been kind of prepping for the draft, and I've got this hope in my head that he kind of drops down to 8, because I know the Blackhawks could always use more depth on the blue line and a guy that I think could potentially be NHL ready in 1 to 2 years. How are you looking at a guy like Evan Bouchard? Is he a guy that you think could make that kind of an impact in 1 or 2 years? And do you think there is a chance that he could end up dropping to the Blackhawks at number 8?
So I guess yes and no. I think he'll be ready to play in the NHL by 2019-20 as well. Possibly even this year. And he's already played 3 years of major junior hockey. So he's one of those guys where they'll actually be able to, whoever drafts him will have the opportunity or the option of sending him to the AHL after this coming season. That said, I don't think he's going to need any time in the AHL. He's very well polished. He's a great mover of the puck. You know, he sees the game very well. He's a natural quarterback in all senses, you know, even strength, penalty, power play rather. Does a bit of everything. He's got good size. He's not as good a skater as Dahlin or some of the other blue liners in that grouping, but he's a good skater. But he's, you know, he's got a great shot, uses it often, knows how to get it through the defense and onto the net, and knows how to find teammates who are down low and in prime scoring areas. That said, I don't think he's going to be there at number eight for the Blackhawks. I think if they want to, they could get one of the defensemen there. But something tells me that Bouchard will not be on the board. Of course, if he is, he would definitely make a really good draft pick.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer, man, because he's definitely a guy that I've kind of had my eye on ever since this kind of prep process started. There are some other defensemen, though, that could potentially be available in that area. You have guys like Adam Boqvist and Noah Dobson that could potentially be on the board at number eight if there isn't a big kind of surge of defensive picks in that area. Which guy do you think, kind of from that blue line class, who do you think fits best with what the Blackhawks would need, which would be a guy who can kind of play two ways and also be ready within a year or two when this window of contention that they're currently in is still open?
Well, we talked about Bouchard already. I'd probably also put Dobson in that category. You know, he's not the most dynamic of those players, but he's got everything. He's got kind of all the tools. He's got the size. He's got the puck moving ability. He's a very good skater. He's got great hockey IQ. He's a bit of a workhorse as well, just like Bouchard. He helped his team win the Memorial Cup about 3 weeks ago. You know, he's a number one defenseman in waiting. He's just not the one who's going to draw people out of their seats so often. You know, I'm a huge fan of Quinn Hughes, but I'm positive that if he's there at number six, the Red Wings take him for a few reasons. So I don't think he gets there. I think Adam Boqvist could be there. But I think at that stage, if in the mock that actually I just wrote a mock the other day for Roto World, if, as I foresee, Bouchard, Hughes, and Dobson are all taken by eight, I would actually see Chicago going away from a defenseman and taking Oliver Wahlstrom instead.
Yeah, we saw that in your mock draft in the McKean's draft preview. By the way, McKeanshockey.com. Get your own. This is the best draft preview out there, the best you'll find for the NHL. We're talking to Ryan Wagman, lead prospect writer at McKean's Hockey. Again, McKeanshockey.com. They have Oliver Wahlstrom going to the Blackhawks. Tell us a little bit about Wahlstrom and what Blackhawks fans might want to know about his game should that come true.
He's a sniper. He scores a lot of goals. You know, he's got a shot that is, he's almost, you know, he's really just about as good as Svechnikov and Zadina are, who are, you know, my number two and three, and most people's two and three in this draft. But the only thing that really separates him from those two right now is that he can sometimes show like a lack of effort. You know, he'll have a period or so where you kind of don't see him. But most of the time, he's dominant. You know, he gets himself into scoring opportunities and scoring like positions on the ice, and he can finish, and he finishes, and he finishes, and he finishes, and he finishes. He's got a fantastic shot. He's a he's got great puck skills. And in fact, he first came to prominence when he was, I think, 9 years old out in New England as he was on like the Boston Bruins home ice. He kind of did some shootout trickery. You can still find it on YouTube. You can YouTube like Oliver Wahlstrom, whether it's 9 years old or 8 years old, and see the things he was doing then. And he's still able to do that stuff, but now he's doing it against, you know, the best of his peers. He's a fantastic hockey player. He's going to go to college next year. He decommitted from Harvard. He's going to go to, I forget which Boston school he just committed to this time, but he'll only be there for a year. He's going to be a big-time goal scorer. And I think everybody can use a big-time goal scorer.
For sure. You know, sometimes when you see the lack of effort tag thrown on a prospect, and we saw this a little bit actually with Patrick Kane before he was drafted by the Blackhawks, is, yeah, sometimes he'll drift, sometimes he won't be interested. And what you find out is sometimes these guys are so much better than their competition, they can almost get bored or they're just not challenged, almost like a gifted student in a remedial class. Like, okay, God, I know all of this stuff, so I'm not going to pay attention. Is that sort of the kind of thing we're talking about with Wahlstrom as well?
So when I've seen a fair bit of Wahlstrom. I live just outside Chicago, and I get to see the national team, you know, a fair bit, including both like at the under-18s and in league play. And what I see with him, and you know, I don't say that that's every game of his, but it seems to me that's that first period where he's usually a little quieter. And I get the impression after all these, you know, these months of watching him that it's kind of he's reading the competition for that first period. And then in that second period, in the third period, he's ready to strike. He knows where to go. He's figured out where their weaknesses are, and he hits it. He just, you know, gives off a bit of a weird impression in that first period where you think, oh, that's not that special. And then you keep watching the game and say, oh, yeah, that's really good.
Interesting. All right. Well, one guy, you know, we learned a little bit ago the Hawks are have an eye on Brady Tkachuk, and I know that it's probably unlikely that he'll fall to eight. But if he does, and this is a guy a lot of our listeners are interested in, basically because of the pedigree. Everyone knows Keith, everyone knows Matthew, and now Brady's the next in line. What kind of NHL player will Brady Tkachuk be? And if he does fall to the Blackhawks at eight, do you see them taking him there?
He's basically, I mean, you mentioned the pedigree, his brother and his dad, and he's kind of the same, you know, that apple came from the same tree. You know what a Foligno is like on the ice, and you know what a Tkachuk is like. He's big, tough, ornery, but really good hands, really good in the cycle, really able, you know, able to kind of spot teammates and get the puck moving in the offensive zone, creates a lot of plays, fun player to watch. I think he's slightly more advanced than his brother was at the same stage. He's ready for the NHL. I don't know if he's, you know, he has mentioned in the past, I've heard both that he's going to go back for another year to school and that he'll let his NHL team decide. But if he wants to play in the NHL now and his team wants him to, he's ready. That said, yeah, I don't really see him lasting past four. You know, whether he goes third or fourth, I think he's going to be long gone by the time the Blackhawks are ready to choose their pick.
Sorry to burst your bubble like that, Jay. I know you've been very adamant about wanting the Blackhawks to potentially take him. I was loving in your mock draft, you mentioned that teams should absolutely, unequivocally never take a goaltender in the first round of the NHL draft ever. So I have to put you on the spot, and I have to ask, where do you feel comfortable in this year's draft class in particular, potentially taking a goaltender, and who are some of the top guys that are going to go off the board and be some of the first netminders chosen?
So this year's draft is not a very, you know, I would in good goalies, I'd say sure, second round is fine. This year, I don't see that. Somebody probably will go in the second round because it's inevitable, but I just don't see the value there. The risk is too high. So some of the goalies, though, who I would start to look at in the third round, there's a couple of guys from the Czech Republic. There's Lukáš Dostál and Jakub Skerek. I'm probably mispronouncing both their names, but they've both played at a high level for a while. Skerek's been playing senior hockey, and he's even played in the World Juniors for 2 years already. There's a couple of goalies in Canada. Olivier Rodrigue, not as big, but he's had better results. He's in Drummondville. Alexis Gravel from Halifax. He's struggled a bit, but he's got a lot of tools. So he's a bit of a project, but he's got kind of, you know, he's the package you like to see. And I'd also, I guess, mention two guys who had really good tournaments at the under-18s a few weeks ago. Olaf Lindbom of Sweden and Justus Annunen from Finland. Both of them are also, you know, they've done the work at kind of at the big time, you know, big time competition. Withstanding pressure, they show good technique. They have kind of a lot of tools, but you know, goalies are like a friend of mine says, a lot of goalies are voodoo. You know, so that's part of the reason why I don't like taking goalies in the first round. They flame out at a very high rate, and a lot of the best ones in the NHL end up being guys who were late round picks or you know, never even drafted. For me, if I run a team, I'm taking a goalie almost every year in the sixth or seventh round, and one of them will shake out.
Well, Ryan, very much appreciate you joining us on the podcast tonight. I know it's a busy time of year. Great analysis. Draft this Friday. We can't wait to see what happens. There's always a lot of trades. There's always a lot of transactions, lots of rumors. The draft is one of the most exciting nights on the hockey calendar. Thanks for making us smarter hockey fans. Ryan Wagman from McKean's Hockey. Make sure you go to McKeansHockey.com and pick up your McKean's 2018 NHL Draft Guide. Worth every penny. And follow Ryan Wagman on Twitter at RAWagman. That's WAGMAN. Ryan, thanks a lot for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right. Thanks for listening to this special edition of the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.